שלום, נושא השיעור שלנו היום הוא להשפיע נחת רוח לבורא.
Our topic today is bestowing contentment to the Creator, and we will start with excerpt number 15 and the document of bestowing contentment onto the Creator, excerpts, chosen excerpts from the sources. You can also ask questions live. Let's begin.
אנחנו נמצאים
we are in a world, you could say world from the world, from the word olam, from the word helem, concealment, and the upper force that is concealed from us. We feel its actions, but we can't tell that it's him. Hence all of our work is in order to reveal him in the form of, from your actions we shall know you. We learn his actions, we try to bring the actions of the upper force, which is our entire life, our feeling inside of us, around us, everything that is happening to us. We ascribe it to a single force, a single mind, single action, a single origin. And from that, we want to learn who is he, the one who is governing us, surrounding us. Our thoughts are from him, our desires are from him, meaning both our brain and our heart. It's all impressed, or rather activated, operated by him all of our life. Everything we feel around us, the world, and the still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, it's all what each one of us feels, sees. It all exists as a show, as a spectacle in our senses. It's all coming from him. So, through the world, through our impression from this force, we want to learn about him, himself, what he projects to us, the way he created our senses and us, and how he influences those senses onto us. From your actions, as we say, we shall know you. So his actions are us and everything we feel and sense, and through that we can come to sense and feel him, understand him, get to know him. From your actions, we shall know you. This is our work. When we begin to know him, we discover that we are made of a matter that is opposite of him, the matter of reception or the ego. And so in order to get to know him, although we are made by him, we are created by him, nevertheless, we have to transform ourselves, invert ourselves in order to get to know him. And then we'll understand who is he, what is he, that force which operates on us. We'll discover him, meaning the creature, the created being, is ready for it, to come to know its maker, specifically out of this feeling of his self and the feeling of the world that surrounds him. What prevents us from getting to know this upper force? Our ego, our pride, our nature. It was done this way on purpose, so that our nature will discover this resistance, and on top of this resistance, we would then be able to reveal this external force, the upper force, the creator. If we were not opposite to Him, you would not be able to feel Him. To such an extent that as we advance towards His feeling and inside His feeling, when we progress in our process of revealing Him, all of it is done by our ego, pride, our opposition more and more, specifically as the light excels from that darkness. And on each and every step, this resistance, rejection, distance appear, and on top of this distance, the distance remains, the separation remains, but on top of it, we reveal this correspondence. And so these two forms that appear in us, both darkness and light, from the two of them, we make up the form of the Creator, as it's written, who makes light and creates darkness. And from these two, we get to know Him. That is our path. So let's go to excerpt number 15.
Excerpt number 15, Bala Sulam Shamati. Our sages said, anyone who is proud, the Creator says, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode, as He makes two authorities. However, when one is in a state of Ein and annuls himself before the root, meaning that one's sole intention is only to bestow, like the root, you find that there is only one authority here, the authority of the Creator. Then, all that one receives in the world is only in order to bestow upon the Creator. This is the meaning of what he had said. The whole world was created only for me, and I to serve my Maker. For this reason, I must receive all the degrees in the world, so that I can give everything to the Creator, which is called to serve my Maker.
There are methods that talk about canceling the will to receive, where a person has to make himself into a total zero. With us, although we're referring to the same style, same words, canceling the will to receive actually means that the will to receive remains. We don't destroy it. We don't lower it to zero as if it doesn't exist, because the will to receive is all of creation. Rather, we have to acquire corrections on top of the will to receive, so it would not disturb us in our attempt to resemble the Creator and to turn the will to receive to in order to bestow. That is all the difference between various methods. Religions typically speak about cancellation, nullification. Eat less, drink less, do certain things less, make a zero out of yourself, breathe less, there's all those techniques, cover your eyes, and so on and so forth. No, the wisdom of Kabbalah says that you need to use everything you've got, and even if more of it, even if it will develop more, all your impressions from the world should be connected to the upper force, and then you will ultimately use all of your coarseness, all of your aviyot, and everything that will be revealed in it will actually be the place for the revelation of the Creator, for adhesion with Him. What does it say? Our sages said, anyone who is proud, the Creator says, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode. Right? They cannot, but Nothing is redundant, rather. The fact that we can't live in the same abode, it's actually good. It's for the sake of the created being that feels itself separate from the Creator, and now has the possibility of getting to know Him. This is because He makes two authorities, whereas when He is in the state of Ein and annuls himself before the root, meaning that one's sole intention is only to bestow, like the root, you find that there is only one authority here, meaning the authority of the Creator. Then all that one receives in the world is only in order to bestow upon the Creator. Meaning if he were to nullify himself, he would remain nothing, a zero. When he is in that state where he doesn't nullify himself, but rather adapts himself to the Creator with all of his coarseness, all this aviyut that is revealed, then he turns this aviyut, this coarseness, into the place where, on the one hand, the gap between him and the Creator is becoming apparent, and also the resemblance, the correspondence between them becomes apparent. With the coarseness on the one hand and the correspondence according to the intention, then you have connection on that level of the attainment. And everything he receives in the world is in order to bring contentment to the Creator. As our sages said, the whole world was made for me and I to serve my Maker. The world, olam, this helem, concealment. That's why I have to accept all the degrees in the world so that I can give everything to the Creator, specifically this gap over which I can return to the Creator, all this coarseness, I can return it with a reflected light called to serve my Maker. Any questions?
Ken.
What's unclear in the process is that anyone who's proud, he and I, cannot dwell in the same abode.
When the will to receive grows in a person moves further and further away from the Creator. Hence, there is this tendency to cancel the will to receive. But this tendency is not part of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Only religions, faiths, belief systems that stress the nullification and cancellation of the ego. And it used to be part of the wisdom of Kabbalah in the beginning, the previous generations. Eat less, drink less, sleep less, everything less. But that is only in the initial stages. Later, you can't use it to scrutinize your advancement towards the upper force, but only the reforming light. You can do it and you do it. Not by paying attention to your corporeal actions, your physical actions, but instead on the intention.
So there is a process that he describes that anyone who's proud, he is actually, he discovers that he is opposite to the Creator, he is the opposite of the Creator, and then he reaches equivalence of form with him?
Maybe. I can't discover that he is opposite the Creator because it's already revelation. I just don't get the question.
There's an order of how things develop here from the point where he's proud and...
Right. There's an order of development. Think and you will discover it. Okay, if there are no questions, we'll continue.
Good morning. The desire to receive in the created being, is this his vital force?
The will to receive in the creature is all the power he has, the
And this is what sustains him. Thanks to it, he exists.
Yeah, that's everything he has. That's that power. That's the only thing in the creature, the will to receive. It's nothing else, okay?
Excerpt number 16, Rabash. A person has nothing to give to the Creator. As it is written, if you're right, what will you give him? All that one can give to the Creator is the intention, called for my name. There is nothing more that he can give him, because the Creator has no deficiency, so he can be given something. Thus, all that we give him is the intention. Even the intention for the sake of the Creator is not for the Creator's benefit, but for man's benefit. For by this man will receive all the pleasures without the bread of shame. Since, through a equivalence of form, he emerges from receiving to a state of giving. At that time, a person can receive all the pleasures. This is called for my name. If the Creator can say that this place is my name, since the person said that he does not want anything for his own benefit, but everything is for the Creator, then the Creator can mention his name there, since the man has cancelled his own authority and made the place for the Creator. Then I will come to you and give you blessings. Then the blessing of the Creator can come, and all of the good that the Creator wishes to benefit his created beings. Again, a person has nothing to give to the Creator, as it is written, if you're right, what will you give him? All that one can give to the Creator is the intention called for my name. There is nothing more that he can give him, because the Creator has no deficiencies, so he can be given something. Thus, all that we give him is the intention. Even the intention for the sake of the Creator is not for the Creator's benefit, but for man's benefit. For by this, man will receive all the pleasures without the bread of shame. Since through equivalence of form, he emerges from receiving to a state of giving. At that time, a person can receive all the pleasures. This is called for my name. If the Creator can say that this place is my name, since the person said that he does not want anything for his own benefit, but everything is for the Creator, then the Creator can mention his name there. Since the man has cancelled his own authority and made the place for the Creator, then I will come to you and give you blessings. Then the blessing of the Creator can come, and all of the goods that the Creator wishes to benefit his created beings.
Any questions?
So, who is the intention for?
The creature thinks it's for the Creator thinks it's for the creature.
Yesterday we read that the intention should be for the sake of the Torah, Lishma, not Lishmo.
Right.
And today we're reading that it's for my own benefit. So, who's the intention for?
This we will learn in the introduction to tests. It has to be for the sake of Torah. You're right. Simply put, where the Creator and the creature become adhered into one. This is the essence of the Torah. It brings a person to that state, to that reality.
He writes here that the intention for the sake of heaven is not for the sake of the Creator, but for the sake of man, in order for him to be able to receive all the pleasures.
Yeah.
It's for us not to feel shame.
From the perspective of the action, it's the intention for the sake of heavens, which opens the abundance to you to receive it. The question is, who are you receiving it for? This is in order to bestow contentment to the Creator. But before that, you have a condition from the Creator to make the intention in order to bestow to him. But in order to bestow to him, you have to first receive the abundance and enjoy it. Otherwise, in what are you delighting him? Only in the pleasure that you receive and you enjoy.
So it's not that the Creator really enjoys, but from the pleasure that I receive correctly, as I've given contentment.
We need to understand the principal thing here. The Creator is also something that exists inside the creature. It's a certain special attainment, special feeling in the creature, which is called Creator. Meaning, the Creator is also found in us. What's outside of us, we can never feel. Whether it exists or not, you cannot say. Rather, we feel a certain phenomenon in us, and we call this phenomenon Creator. And we can enter into various relationships with this phenomenon of receiving and bestowing, but this exists in us. Whatever is not in us doesn't exist. We can't tell if there's anything outside of us. We don't have such a sensation. Even that which we sense that exists outside of us is nevertheless within the range of our perception. Stars, galaxies, where does it exist? In me. And before that, when you didn't feel them, you didn't see them, also existed in me. I just didn't reveal them, didn't feel them. Everything is in my will to receive that evolves and discovers more phenomena inside of it. That's why the way we say there's none else besides him, you can say there truly is none else besides the will to receive, in which all the phenomena are revealed, including this phenomenon called Creator.
Does there necessarily have to be a gap between the will to receive that feels as the will to receive and the Creator in order to reveal the Creator?
Otherwise, there will be no feeling.
There will never be a state where there will not be such a gap in feeling the Creator?
No, the feeling is founded on a condition that includes two. There's something that separates and there's something that connects. And between the separating and the connecting, there are forms of connection. And then you can say that there is that which who feels and that which is felt, one who bestows and one who receives. Otherwise, there is no sensation of reality. It's no reality. If I don't feel something, I also don't feel myself, meaning I don't exist in that. Meaning the one who feels and the thing that is felt must be together. You want to execute your right to ask now? I don't care. I'm letting you ask once. You can do whatever you want.
There's a very important principle here. Anything that we do not attain, we cannot call it by name or word. According to this principle, is it possible to say that since the Creator is first, I cannot be the Creator, but only man in relation to the Creator, and as if the Creator in relation to the lower one? Is this correct?
I'm certainly a created being. and I receive from the Creator, and I have to resemble the Creator relative to all the other created beings that I can bestow to.
Thank you very much. Excerpt number 17, Rabash, Entry into the Work. After he achieves this degree called Lolishma, he is rewarded with other phenomena when he comes to a higher state. That is, at that time, he has no consideration of himself, and all his calculations and thoughts are the truth. In other words, his aim is only to annul himself before the true reality, where he feels that he must only serve the king because he feels the exaltedness and greatness and importance of the king. At that time, he forgets, meaning he has no need to worry about himself, as his own self is annulled as a candle before a torch, before the existence of the Creator that he feels. Then he is in a state of lishma, meaning contentment to the Creator, and his concerns and yearnings are only about how he can delight the Creator, while his own existence, meaning the will to receive, does not merit a name whatsoever. Then he is regarded as bestowing in order to bestow.
Bestow in contentment to the Creator, which we started talking about, to annul towards the Creator, constantly think about Him, aim ourselves towards Him. This is the main thing in our work, in our efforts, and we have to be in it constantly, meaning once we start, we cannot stop doing it. That's why, since we started it a week ago, we have to try and constantly be only in that until we reach Lishma. Do you have questions from the week that we've went through on all these topics?
Tov, no natkir mimcha.
Why is intention the only thing that you give to the Creator?
I ascribe everything to Him. Everything is coming from Him. And if I feel that there is something I can do to turn to Him, then everything that's happening to me in life, my thoughts, my desires, any occurrences and instances, I want to tie them to Him only. And through this reality called the imaginary world, the concealment of the Creator in them, then I come to a situation where I'm entirely aimed at Him, and He is a God that hides. And I try, nevertheless, to aim myself to Him with all my thoughts and desires. I want to be aimed at Him directly. I don't know how to say it exactly. Try to see Him through all the instances in my corporeal state, in my spiritual state. Everything is coming from one source.
And deepening into these efforts shows that He Himself stands behind the efforts. You can't come out of the loop of nihilism besides Him.
Doesn't matter. He's playing with me the way I play with a little child. On the one hand, I help him. I help him do certain things. On the other hand, I play tricks on him. I add difficulty along the way in order to teach him. Of course, the Creator is playing with us from both ends. But the question is, what am I doing on my part? Do I accept this game, the game of the Creator, with with the whale, but I understand the game of the creator with the whale, but from that I can develop a consistent intention to him in everything.
The work in intention seems more work in thought.
It's out of the thought and out of the heart. It typically belongs to the heart. The heart is aimed.
This isn't clear yet because we say that the Creator wants your heart.
Go deeper into your thought and you see that the heart will be drawn after it.
What's the connection between prayer and intention?
It's two different things. Intention is intention, according to how much I can be aimed at the Creator. And the prayer is what I use to turn to the Creator to establish my intention.
The Creator, he wants intention or prayer?
Intention. The prayer is the means for reaching the correct intention.
Last week, we talked all week long about a person's need to be in the right intention in order to make the Creator happy. And you emphasized the word to care for the Creator, that he'll feel good all the time as a result. And then you said that it's by making your friends happy. How do you arrange this triangle?
It's not a triangle, it should be the same thing. I and the friends and the Creator are together. And the action starts from me towards the friends, to the extent I can care for them, I can consequently care for the Creator. So I will not miss the direction, will not make any mistakes about my intention. Although it's difficult, there's always some deviation from the friends to the Creator, from the Creator to the friends, but if I put them all together, and only in this way I can actually come to a state where I'm aimed at the Creator, I to my Beloved. And also when I receive from Him, from the Creator, it's also in my Beloved to me. That's also through the society. Here is a condition which is our salvation, really, because without it, we wouldn't be able to aim ourselves at the Creator. Look how all the religions are seemingly pointing at the Creator. There's no connection between them, and that's already pointing them at some open space, each one according to his will. He imagines the Creator. That's one thing. The other thing, if each one doesn't intend toward the Creator, but rather his techniques of how to connect, how to do something. These are more mystical things. And here, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, you have to be in both in that and in this and the other. Specifically, Israel, the Creator. Israel, the light, the Creator are one. All of reality has to be with you and the Creator in one point.
So, I have to make sure that who's happy.
Your concern has to be such that through the joy of friends, you come to the joy of the Creator, and this gives you joy. Who is the Creator? The one who is revealed as the sum total from your connection with the friends. God forbid to be aimed at Him without a group. This is the root for all the problems, all the mistakes. Of course, it's easier because you don't need to work with your ego. Because towards the Creator, you have no ego. You can bow before Him. You can fast, you can do all sorts of things, prayers, can become a monk, no problem. But to be truly aimed at the Creator, that's a must, to aim oneself through the society. Otherwise, it will not happen. Here you protect yourself from all these human errors.
No. 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 Can?
No. Okay. Here?
So what exactly gives the Creator contentment if man has nothing to give?
Man doesn't have anything to give. Actually, the contrary. The Creator created the will to receive. Man takes the will to receive and brings it on a tray to the Creator, serves it to Him, the whole world. I serve my Maker. How? Through my bestowal of the force of connection, the upper force to all of humanity, and I try to take all of humanity on a tray and serve it to the Creator. What does it mean, on a tray? I need to educate them. I need to bestow to them. I need to do different actions in order to awaken them. And then in this way, it's called that it says that I present them to the Creator. I serve my Maker.
But we read that man has nothing to give the Creator. We read it a moment ago.
From himself, of course, but that he has.
So what's the contentment? What is he giving him?
By transferring or passing the bestowal, the influence of the Creator through him to all the creatures, and by that all the creatures awaken, and he can then present, serve this bestowal, this influence to the Creator. He becomes towards all the created beings as the point of Keter, because each one of us is unique in that only he can do his own personal work. This is the meaning of serving my Maker.
So, in our work toward the friends, by this we give the Creator contentment?
Of course. Because what I can do in reality, you cannot do, and he cannot do, and no one else. On the other hand, each one of you can do his work, his individual work, his personal work, and there is no one else that can do it in his place. So it turns out that each and everyone can be as a keter towards all the other creatures, that connect all the creatures with the Creator. This is the matter of adhesion. If you have your vessel, you bestow to them, you connect them to the Creator.
How's the connection that you create between the created beings and the Creator? How's this work?
When through you, like between Gagaltav and Naim and Nahab, you pass the influence of the Creator to humanity and you bring man from them back to the Creator. You are the medium, you are the intermediary, the pipeline.
But how do you pass the Creator on to them?
By raising their deficiency to Him. And as Vukdaka, He provides the abundance and you give the abundance to them. You are the connector. You are Gagalta Venaim. You are Yeshakel. They are the Achab.
So, the act of connecting between the Creator and the created beings is in man's prayer or intention?
I don't see a difference there between the prayer and the intention.
What connects between them? What act?
Between whom?
Creator and the created beings.
To that man, you know, that group.
שנקראת ראש הפרצוף.
Called the Rosh of the Parzuf, seemingly doesn't exist for itself, but only in order to connect the upper light, the Creator, with the goof, the desire. Then you have an intermediary in the middle that doesn't really exist. And that's why there's this complaint to the Jews. Who are they? Do they exist? And where are they coming from? Because they are not like the rest of the people in the world. Something, this unexplained entity, something in the middle, an average, a medium.
What is that middle average act?
To connect the Creator with humanity. That's the role of the people of Israel, to reveal the Creator to all of humanity. For now, for the time being, they are revealing it, but in this corrupt form. And humanity is nevertheless advancing through it toward the revelation of the truth. That's what came out of it. The faiths, religions, Abraham who gave out his gifts.
It's not exactly clear how is a person the average between the Creator and the Ten.
Also with respect to the ten, each one is like a keter towards the lower nine, his friends, and each one is also a malchut towards the rest of his friends.
Does keter do anything?
It connects.
And the connection, how is it expressed and what?
To the extent that he annuls himself towards a friend and towards a Creator, he becomes like the keter, coarseness on the level of shorish.
Sometimes I hear that the Creator is revealed in the ten. So these are two things, the Creator and in it the ten, and in it the Creator that's revealed. And sometimes the Creator and the ten are one and the same.
One is a clear, one is a light.
What's the right attitude to try to see it as one, or to start with the ten and then to move to the Creator?
You can't look for the Creator without a clear. Because the Creator is a phenomenon of the clear. It's revealed in the clear. When you have an instrument, then there's a certain revelation of a phenomenon, of something. The instrument by itself is a detector, a sensor. Who is the ten? The ten desires that specifically because they are egoists and they can connect each one above himself to everyone else, by that they establish such a state whereby they become equivalent to the Creator, they resemble the Creator. Why? Because the upper light can influence the raw desire, arranged that desire in ten phenomena. And each and every phenomenon is a special desire that was revealed by the light until the light realized itself inside the desire, this raw desire, fully. Meaning it finished his work. That's it. There's nothing more in the light to reveal inside the desire. Now, the action by the Creator towards the light. How can the desire from the very last degree, the one that's furthest from the light, how can it be revealed more and more with respect to the light in assembling, gathering all of its qualities that the light created in the desire? Light creates in the desire forms that are opposite to him. But this desire that awakens from below becomes an illuminating sapir, like an emerald, and then it begins to appear in the opposite way. The extent it can resemble the light, according to how much darkness has in him, in how it was created from above down, and how much light it wants to have to overcome the darkness, to be as light, as the opposite of itself. So it turns out that from these desires that were created from below, from above down, you get sfirot, those that shine. And in this way, the creature awakens to be similar to the Creator. And if you connect all these discernments, all these b'chinot from above down, from below up, from above down is how the Creator made him, according to the intention, the certain role, and from below up, how he keeps that role with his own intention. So it turns out that in these 10 sefirot, meaning in the 10, the functions properly, this is revealed. No one knows who is he. Is he Keter? Is he Chochmah, Bina? We're not like the students of Rabbi Shimon that knew each one, which sfira, which desire, which role they were destined. We might reveal it later. But in truth, after all, this is how we awaken to the work of the Creator. That what was created inside the will to receive, in the annulment between us, in connecting between us in order to enter into some contact with the upper light, by that we wish to carry out our work. Now, if we don't connect, how can we be connected to the light? If the light has to shine through these 10 discernments that it created, and if we don't connect ourselves, we don't even try to connect ourselves, then the light has no path through which to appear, to arrange these 10 sefirot, to turn them into sefirot, and to be in them. The one who dwells inside their impurities cannot. That's why our work is to understand how much when we begin to connect one another in the 10, we let the light work on us, turn each of us into a sfira, meaning a certain special quality, and this special quality cannot be all by itself. Each quality determines the quality that precedes it and supersedes it. Meaning the Creator arranges these things, arranges them according to how they can connect to one another. Without the connection, you don't give the Creator a place for work in order to arrange a partsuf for you.
How to focus yourself? Because you're all the time like doing zigzags between the Creator and the Ten.
The Creator, you give him contentment by allowing him to work. There's no greater pleasure than to work with a creature that prepared himself for the Creator. Nothing. Because he's all bestow, so let him bestow. How can you let him bestow to the extent that you connect with the friends? You let him bestow. You begin to arrange the 10. You begin to arrange it in the right connection in order to be revealed, to create this correspondence between him and they.
So again, it's two. There is turning to the Creator and there is the ten. It's not one.
No, it's not one. Israel, the light, the Creator are one. Israel, but it's three as one.
Israel
is the Adam. Israel is a person who yearns to come to adhesion. From that, he works in Oraita, that is the light that connects him together, And in how to connect together, the Creator is revealed.
What makes them one?
The intention as they work each one from his nature, from his corrections, from his connection towards others and towards the Creator. It's not that one is doing it. Each one towards the others, he becomes the entire ten sefirot. Then we see a division. We say, no, we're not ten. Each one of us is made of ten. So we're 100. When we begin to work as 100, meaning in a higher degree, let's say to the power of 2, which is 100, right? 10 squared is 100. So once again, we begin to be connected to one another and tied to one another, and then we... Each of us is included from another 100. So you have a very special progression here, where each time the degree multiplies itself, not just times 10, rather as much as it is, and then it's multiplied, and again multiplied, because each one is included of everyone. So our level, our intensity, although we can say we're always 10, but each one becomes, it's time, exponentially greater.
Can I turn to the Creator directly for him to change me so that I'll want to turn to the group or connect with it in order to connect
yes.
to
him? Yes. Yeah, for the group, you can turn. But it doesn't mean that you're separated from them. If you're praying really for them, then you're like a keter towards them. Right now, you collect yourself to the Creator and to the group, and if that's the case, all of your intentions, desires, your actions are only for the ten. So you're permitted to turn to Him alone. You're as a representative, Shatz. Okay? No, it's enough for you. I don't take that.
Rav, you explained this several times, but again, what does it mean, koni?
What is koni?
That's why I'm asking, I don't know. To serve my master. In Hebrew, koni. Why koni?
Master, maker, because you relate to him like a slave, like a servant. You recognize that you're in a system and you have to work from within your desire, but the form of work in your desire is that which you acquire from the entire system called the Creator. In that, you serve the Creator, your Maker. You acquire Him, and you feel yourself sold to Him, belonging to Him. It's like Queen Esther said, my Maker, my Master is the one who owns me, who acquires me. Rav, I'm not so good in Hebrew. You should need to find out. I understand from the work what has to be done and not from this semantics. Okay? Let's continue. Oh, we have questions around the world. Let's start with... I don't see my friend in Almata. Is he there or not?
No, Almata.
Good morning, Rav. I'm here. Oh, they threw you in the back. We have a friend visiting with great joy. Regarding the question, we have a regional congress, we have friends from Kyrgyzstan, Boris came, gave us a few good presentations on the organization of the group in general. There was a great act of connection, lots of excitement, a congress, really. So I have a question. What you just said, that the Creator and the Ten, it turns out that the Ten is the Kli in order to establish, the design my correct desire towards the Creator. And the feeling is that I'm using the Ten as an instrument, as a means. How correct is this feeling? Because it seems a little egoistic to use the Ten like that, Rav. This is correct. This is good. It says that the world was made for me, and I was made to make my maker. Meaning I'm using the world in order to serve the Creator. I'm using the world in order to serve the Creator. And the world was created for me. Don't be afraid to say it. In the correct form, when we are using the world, we become in this like pipeline between the Creator and the world. Our role is to be used, to serve everyone. It's the opposite of what the religion says, but that's how it is. Kiev. Hello, dear Rav. About this work, when I, as a Keter, connect the friends with my requests, I take their deficiencies and I pass them to the Creator. You said that I'm obligated to also pass it down from the Creator to them. What is the feedback I need to get from the Creator and pass to the friends? Or this quality towards the Ten. Rav, to be the one who is connected. This is the meaning of being the group's representative towards the Creator and the Creator's representative towards the group. Each one of us needs to do it in his Ten. That's it. You said that there's work there from above down, from... Yes, from the Creator to the group, from the group to the Creator, and you are in the middle of it. Then you're called the Keter. To the extent you're taking the deficiencies from them, then you are as Malchut. If you are passing these deficiencies to the Creator, you are like Keter. And when the influence of the Creator is flowing through you to them, you feel your integration with all these Sfirot, all their deficiencies, you become a true conduit. And this pipeline is eventually included in everything. Of everything. Question, I pass the Creator's influence to the Ten. What does it mean that I pass the Creator's influence to the Ten? Rav, you don't exist for yourself. You have no desire of your own, only that which you took from the friends, their desires, and you raise them to the Creator. And in that, you connect to the Creator in order to receive from Him everything He can give to the Ten. That's it. Try to implement those things somehow. It doesn't matter how, but you'll see that it is becoming more... it's clearer, you feel more, you see more, that's how it will happen.
I still have to
question.
Pass
I need to pass from him.
Impression from him, connection.
Whatever he does to you, that's what you have to pass to them. Don't worry about everything else, you'll get instruction from him. If you want to serve the friends, you will be instructed by the Creator. These things are here in our reality. All we are missing is the correct intention, the correct view of me, of the friends, of the Creator. How do I arrange these things? I also don't know how to do it. He's doing it. I should only have a desire for it, a tendency for it. It shall help his friend. We should talk about it, recommend one another how to do it. Maybe like this, maybe like that. These are the kind of discussions we need to have. And these discussions are in the connection between us.
One more question. About 10 minutes ago, you said that there is a certain moment where this chisaron becomes... When the chisaron of the friends starts generating the light themselves.
Once you pass this, you become a pipeline. Once you pass the reaction to the friends, you become fulfillment. Moscow.
Rav, you said that our method is simple. And in order to qualitatively do our work, we're working with several things: prayer, intention, connection, dissemination. And when we invest qualitatively into the one, we miss out in the other. And, you know, something falls between the cracks. And you feel like you're losing all the time.
There's no answer. Continue working and you'll get an answer. There's no conclusive answer for it. Just continue working. Rome.
Buongiorno, Rav. Ma avete parlato prima del fatto che noi dentro di noi abbiamo tutto, le stelle, le galassie, riconosciamo tutto, il creatore stesso. Però nello stesso tempo noi facciamo uno sforzo per uscire da noi stessi, per andare verso gli amici, per capire che cos'è la forza dell'adazione. Potete chiarire di più questo aspetto, questa doppia modalità che apparentemente sembra in contraddizione?
אמרנו מצד אחד שהכל נמצא בתוכנו, כל התופעות נמצאות בתוכנו, מצד שני אנחנו אומרים שאנחנו צריכים לצאת מחוץ לעצמנו, לצאת לעבר החברים, להתחבר, ונראה שיש כאן שתי תופעות שהן לכאורה סותרות, אם תוכל ליישב בין שני התופעות האלה, בין שני הכיוונים האלה.
לא כל כך הבנתי.
יש כיוון אחד שאומר שהכל נמצא בתוכנו.
There's one direction that says that everything exists inside of me. On the other hand, I have to come out of myself toward the friend. So as if these two directions contradict one another.
I don't think it, it conflicts. Only for the sake of orientation. Sometimes we think this way, sometimes we think another way. It all... It's all according to the correct... The way everything is established correctly between the creator and the creature, when you have coarseness, screen, reflected light, a certain partsuf, and then you understand how it's happening. And before that, you talk this way and that way, according to how it's comfortable.
Chicago. Переход, вот переключение в этот режим ради Творца.
The transition into the state where all the work is consciously done for the benefit of the Creator.
Переход в то, что ради Творца производит человек.
Again, the transition into doing everything for the sake of the Creator. Does the light make this change, or does man all the time have to evolve and develop in this direction?
From man, man has to, is required to give a new desire each time. Person has to be sensitive each time. What else can I add? Now we have what's he asking?
Does it come as a result of our common work and connection? Does the change happen in and of itself, or do you have to work at it, think about it, how do I get it to be in that intention?
If you're not going to be in the same direction, how will you understand the answer? You have to. That's what happens to us as a malfunction. We shout, shout, cry, cry, suddenly, tick, we stop asking, we don't hear an answer. Then we don't hear an answer. Problem is, we're inconsistent. Okay?
Yeshlano Italy.
Ask Italy, Italy 3.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, Rav. My question is, how if the Creator is the quality of bestow, is the bestower, the giver, and we are the receiver, the one with desires, how do we acquire the right desire in order to reach addition with the Creator? Where do we get these desires from, the correct ones? Thank you.
From above, from the Creator, we receive the will to bestow as a result of our exertion and connection between us. If we annul our ego just a little bit, and we're willing to be connected just a little more to one another, then from this connection, let's say even 10% we are able to come closer to another. Out of this 10% annulment of our ego, we can turn to the Creator, and in those 10% that we've annulled and used to turn to Him, in these 10%, we receive a reaction, a response.
There's a feeling of gratitude. The consistency, the order of the explanation, and you see how the friends understand it. And everything really helps. You listen to the friends and you get an answer. How to be correctly directed in order not to be wrong, because everyone has their own conclusions from all this.
You need to determine each day what should be your common prayer. And repeat that prayer, that intention towards the Creator several times a day. Remind one another. Just like we talked about last week, what did we say? What was the intention? We talked about contentment, right? Using these words. You will feel good. Concern to give him contentment or to for him to feel good from us. Not just to feel good in general, but from us specifically. So, throughout the day, we want to be in the intention that he will enjoy us, meaning the 10, not me, not just us in general, rather my 10, to enjoy, to feel pleasure from our connection between us. So let's check ourselves. How are we connected? Can he be somewhat satisfied from our connection? Meaning, if we overcome our connection in 1 ounce, let's say, and we can present that to him, serve him that already we're giving him an opportunity to enjoy us. It's like when we want to see in a baby that today he advanced a little more compared to yesterday, and we expect that tomorrow he'll advance a little bit more compared to today. Specifically, then, in the difference between yesterday and today, today and tomorrow, as we add each day, we overcome. By that, we give contentment. And that's what we have to think about. We agree, right? Let it be our prayer for the day.
Nikra 27.
27.
Excerpt number 27. Rabash, love of friends. To acquire faith, fear must come first. As it is related in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, fear is a commandment that contains all the commandments in the Torah. Since it is the gate to faith in Him, according to the awakening of one's fear, so one believes in His guidance. It ends there. The fear is lest he will lessen the giving of contentment to his Maker. This means that the fear that one should have with regard to the Creator is that perhaps he will not be able to give contentment to the Creator, and not that fear will concern one's own benefit. It follows that the gate to faith is fear. It is impossible to reach faith by any other way. To acquire fear, the fear that one might not be able to give contentment to his Maker, he must first desire and yearn to bestow. Afterwards, he can say that there is room for the fear that he might not be able to sustain the fear. However, one is usually afraid that perhaps his self-love will not be complete, and he does not concern himself with not being able to bestow upon the Creator, by which substance can one be brought to acquire a new quality that he must bestow, and that reception for self is faulty. This is against nature. Though at times one receives a thought and desire that he must abandon self-love, which comes to us by hearing of it from friends and books. It is a very small force, which does not always shine for us, so we can constantly appreciate it and say that this is the rule for all the mitzvot in the Torah. Thus, there is but one council. Several individuals must come together with a desire to abandon self-love without the sufficient force and appreciation for bestowal to become independent without help from the outside. Now, if these individuals annul before one another, since each of them has a least potential love of the Creator, though they cannot actually keep it, then by each joining the society and annulling oneself before it, they become one body. For example, if there are 10 people in that body, it has 10 times more power than a single person does. However, there is a condition. When they gather, each of them should think that he has now come for the purpose of annulling self-love. It means that he will now consider how to satisfy his will to receive now, but will think as much as possible only of the love of others. This is the only way to acquire the desire and the need to acquire a new quality called the will to bestow. And from love of friends, one can reach love of the Creator, meaning wanting to give contentment to the Creator. It turns out that only in this does one obtain a need and understanding that bestowing is important and necessary, and this comes to him through love of friends. Then we can talk about fear, meaning that one is afraid that he will not be able to bestow contentment to the Creator, and this is called fear. Hence, the primary basis upon which the building of sanctity can be erected is the rule of love thy friend. By that, one can acquire the need to bestow contentment upon the Creator. After that, there can be fear, meaning fear of perhaps not being able to give contentment to the Creator. When actually past that gate of fear, he can come to faith, because faith is the vessel for instilling the Shekhinah.
הוא הכלי להשראת השכינה.
טוב, אנחנו עוברים ל...
Okay, we're going to...
בוא נראה הקדמה לטאז.
Introduction to the study in Sfirot.